It's Friday, 2 December, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Got a great one for you. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm your host. And for all of you that are long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of our family here. Hey, I tell you what, it's Friday. It feels like Monday. But no, this week, I'm like, it's been crazy. I think I've had a crazy year. I'm serious. My whole week has been like a never-ending Monday. But this evening, I got a time to relax and was able to kick back with some fellow podcasters here in Oahu. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But as always, if you are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And sign up for our mailing list. You can find a link to that in the second column of our website. And of course, check out all of the archive podcasts. And hey, it's typically getting to be like the holiday period, isn't it? We're past Thanksgiving and actually starting to get in the spirit a little bit. You know, my wife said, I think on Thanksgiving Day, she says, you know, I think just this year, we're going to make our own type of a Christmas tree. Kids and I will decorate something and we won't go out and buy a full blown tree. And my internal instincts were kind of like, no, we're going to have to get a tree. But I didn't say anything about it. I just kind of, you know, let the wife kind of figure out what she wanted to do. And this evening I called her as I was getting ready to leave the house. She was out with the kids and I noticed she was real busy, and it was one of those calls that I could tell, something's up. You know, you can tell when your spouse is doing something. I could tell something wasn't up. I didn't bother with it. I figured out sooner or later. I thought she was out buying me a Christmas present or something, but, it was kind of one of those voices. So I, went and hung out with, about 20 people from Hawaii here that are podcasting, and probably not on this show because it's too late to do the editing, but I did some interviews and there's going to be some videos up and some pictures. And I got some shout outs. So it's going to be really cool to play some of those for you here in the next couple of weeks. But had a great time, had dinner. And I was there about 3 hours. But I had a lot of fun. But of course, when I arrived home this evening, I was walking up the sidewalk and I saw, guess what I saw? You know, the little needles from Christmas trees. And I thought, oh, that's what she did. She went out and got a Christmas tree today and has set, you know, that is kind of like, you know, that's dads and the kids and the mom. You go get that together. But she had went ahead and got a Christmas tree with the kids, which is cool. And of course, I prepared to enter the house and I made a lot of noise when I was coming in. And of course, the kids were like, surprise, surprise. And of course, Dad did his thing. You know how that's supposed to go, right? So she did a good job, picked out a good one. So I haven't asked her quite yet. So what was the change of heart? But I think what it was is we drove by a Christmas tree place the other day. And yes, we do have Christmas trees shipped in from the mainland here in Hawaii. They come in big containers. And, you know, just the smell of pine. There's no, you know, rest of the year, we don't smell any pine. So that smell of that pine, oh, it just smelled so good. So it was like, yeah, went fishing a little bit. And yeah, she bit the hook and we have a Christmas tree now. So it's kind of cool. So we are now officially all set and in the Christmas spirit. So, Hey, I do want to talk seriously, though, with you for a few minutes on a couple of things. And one of them is about some of the discussions I heard at Podcast Expo. And I haven't talked about it too much on the show, but I did want to talk about one thing in particular. And it kind of came up tonight during our dinner with the Hawaii Association of Podcasters. And, you know, a lot of shows that are out there, a lot of us have been hanging out since January, February. I didn't meet the group until a little later in the year. But we've seen a lot of shows just dry up and go away. And part of it is because it's a lot of work, a lot of work to consistently do a show on a regular basis. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are doing shows, you know, once every 2 weeks, once a month, whenever they feel like. But what I think you're seeing is you're seeing shows that are continuing to grow and thrive, or shows that are produced on a consistent basis. And not only is the consistency important, the content has to be king. You know, content is very important. And I strive very hard here to make sure that you all are given a very full plate of content every show. Now, some shows may be better than others. You know, I have my good nights and have my bad nights. And there's also the longevity. I want to be able to stay doing these shows for a long time with you. Right now my heart is 100% into the show. I want to make sure that this show grows and continues. I've gotten a couple of emails from people that have been talking about the commercialization of podcasts, about commercials on this podcast, and essentially dogging me out a little bit about having advertisers. And I think that what you all need to realize is that for podcasters, there's going to be, I would continue to do this show, obviously, without a sponsor. But it does make it a lot easier to have, instead of have to ask you guys for donations or, you know, to improve equipment or do things that we're going to do here, it's a lot easier to have the sponsors, have you guys support the sponsors and have, and it gives me, definitely some more motivation, of course, to do the show. So it's kind of a two-tiered process. And what I was telling the guys tonight at dinner, I said, you know, basically every dime that I'm earning off of sponsors, we're turning it right back around and we're putting it into more products. We're putting it into Podcast Connect. I'm doing stuff with the Podcaster News. We're getting ready to build a new site over at techpodcast.com. So all that money, any of the money that we're bringing in, it's just turned right back in, so that we're going to improve the infrastructure and that we're going to improve, so that it makes it a more, number one, we can get the content to people that have not been exposed to podcasts yet, and also to ensure the longevity of the shows. And so I hope you guys understand that. You know, this is not about getting rich. Obviously, it's absolutely not about getting rich. And there's most people that are having any type of a sponsor are probably making very, very little money. There's a few people that are making a nice, tidy sum of change, okay? But there's very, very few people that are in that position. But I do want to say to you guys, and I think you guys already know that we're taking what we earn from the show and putting it back into podcasting so that it will help the community as a whole over time. Of course, you know, I've got some objectives going on, long-term objectives, but right now, you know, no one really in podcasting, I don't think, except for the Mommycasters, who I guess got a $100,000 sponsorship. But, you know, that's more of a underwriting than it would be an advertiser trying to get a return on investment. So I kind of wanted to talk about, you know, just make sure that you guys, that I think it's important that, number one, the content is here for you. That's got to be key. If I don't have the content that is of quality, let me know. Tell me that the content is slipping. You guys have been real good on sending feedback. But I think for the overall long-term longevity of shows, there needs to be some sort of support, whether it be listener support or sponsor support or underwriter, or, you know, some friends of the show, whatever it may be, to to help continue cover expenses. You know, and let's be straight up. The expenses aren't real high with running the show. You know, I have $2,000 or $3,000 in server bills a year, but that's not all just for the podcasting stuff. That's all the initiatives that we're doing with Podcast Connect, Tech Podcast, Podcaster News, you know, all those initiatives. So, just kind of wanted to give you some feedback there. And, you know, we're getting towards the end of the year and getting ready to start a new year. And, you know, there's going to, of course, there'll be some changes that's going to become over time. And well, there'll be new sponsors will be introduced at some point. But right now, you know, I appreciate you guys hanging with us. And I hope that you understand the positioning here of this show, at least, and where I'm coming from. Now, today is the, it's actually I'm recording a show now on December 1st. You guys get it on 2 December. But I would ask your support, if you feel like it, to go and vote for the show at Podcast Alley. There will be a link in the show notes. Those of you that get the newsletter already had an email that was sent out this morning asking for your vote. And I know about 100 of you have. I do appreciate that. And thank you very much for your continued continued support of the show. Let's see what else I got. Oh, hey, I have to tell you. I'm a geek, right? But I have to fess up. You know my site over at podcastconnect.com? I went to it, and when I loaded the page, guess what? The face of the the page had been defaced. I'm running Mambo over there, and apparently I missed a security bulletin, and yes, the one of the files that was of a security risk definitely got hacked. And it was relatively easy. I basically pulled the site, reloaded it from a backup. So there would, I know that the entire domain was, had fresh non, how should I say it, compromised code on it. And then I went in and did all the patches. So I slapped my hand here for missing that. But if any of you are still using Mambo, make sure that you upgrade to the latest version so that you don't put your site at risk. But, yeah, it took me about an hour or so to get back up, but I felt pretty stupid about it. Okay, hey, not very many contest ideas. Not very many come in via email. Just a few. A couple of them, you know, the one that said, hey, everyone that sends me a picture with a copy of my book in their hands, put them in the... That's not cool. And that, I appreciate the sentiment there, but it's this is not to make you guys go out and buy a book. I don't think that would be a good contest. So I'm still pushing around some ideas, and I'll probably have to make a decision by the next show so that we have enough time to promote it so that you guys can all get involved. Again, we're going to give away $127 on the 23rd of December, that show. And so send me an idea, whatever you think would be a good contest. Now, as you know, we're upcoming here to a big event here in Hawaii on 7 December. Of course, is the, I believe it's the 64th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the sinking of the Arizona and Utah. There will be a commemoration here on Ford Island. For those of you that don't know, the USS Missouri is docked here on Ford Island. And basically from my house, I can look out the window that I'm looking out right now. And from about 300, 350 feet away is where the Utah sank. And then on the other side of the island is where the Arizona Memorial is. So I may do some sort of a special, it'll be in addition to what we already do on, you know, it'll be a special podcast where maybe I walk around the island and I will talk about the Utah, which a lot of people are not aware of or have forgotten. And we'll talk and it's, you know, it's, they haven't forgotten, but it's doesn't get the attraction that the Arizona does because of the public cannot access it. But we'll talk about the Arizona and Arizona memorials, things that are going on over there. We'll probably do that next week, obviously in conjunction with the 64th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So think that's it for regular announcements. And hey, let's go ahead and get rid of some business here. GoDaddy hosting plans are now more powerful than ever. Best of all, plans start at just $3.95 a month. And no matter what plan you choose, your site receives 24/7 maintenance and protection in the GoDaddy.com world-class data center. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd When you check out and save an additional 10% on any order, get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And again, the code is TODD for 10% savings. Hey, there has been a little bit of discussion about GoDaddy servers on the podcaster mailing list, where some people have essentially they've got heavily trafficked shows. They're using servers and they're seeing basically servers are getting overloaded. Just remember, if you're hosting your podcast on any shared hosting account, what could happen is if your podcast is hit real hard, and let's say you have 100 people try to hit it at the same time, or even 50 or 60, there's a good chance that you will time out a normal server. It doesn't matter. Even on my dedicated server, we allow a maximum of 128 concurrent connections, which essentially we don't host the MP3 files on any of our boxes. I don't do that because of the massive hit that you guys put on the servers when the show's produced. So we use LibSyn for our MP3s, and we use the GoDaddy boxes for the actual, where the domains reside for the actual hosting accounts. I think I use about a terabyte of traffic just on geeknewscentral.com a month alone on a virtual dedicated box without any MP3 files. So, you know, they can handle a lot of traffic, but when it comes to serving files, it's a whole different animal. So, I've got some messages out to GoDaddy on this, and hopefully they'll get back with the people that have had some concerns. But again, for I completely stand behind their server products. They've worked great for us, and but I don't serve MP3s on them. Okay, that's just part of, you know, it's the loading issue. It's if a server's not configured correctly, it'll bring them down in a heartbeat. Okay, on December 10th, we have our next tech podcast roundtable. And I got a little different of a promo for you here.
By now, you've probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I asked Adrian Bacon of Apple Newslog, Linux Newslog, and Microsoft Newslog what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you can record the entire presentation, audio, and video.
Sound too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting free for yourself for 30 days. You don't need a credit card. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techroundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on your host website.
Okay, for those of you that have heard me talk a lot about FeedBurner and their pro stats and how I've not been real happy with that because we've used that over at techpodcast.com, one of our listeners of the show, and his name's Chris, took it upon himself to create a program. And it's going to be for those of you that have access to load modules on your servers or on your hosting accounts or can get your providers to load this module. And it's actually so what it's going to do, it's going to help you track your RSS feed and what's going on with the number of click-throughs, podcast loads, etc. He's looking for some help for some developers. If you're a developer and want to help him out with this, please do so. I've got to get it up on my server tomorrow. I didn't have time to do it today, so I'll give you a report on how it works. It's tied to a database, and this is kind of the start of a way in which those of you that don't want to use FeedBurner as your RSS host can now get some statistics off your RSS feed homegrown. You know, and this is something I've been asking for a long time. So his website is cblackburn.blogspot.com. Again, it's cblackburn.blogspot.com. I'll have a link in the show notes. There's a big article on the front page of my website for, I think it was for today. It says, we don't need no stinking feed burner feed stats. So that'll give you an idea kind of the tone of the article. But if those of you that are developers can help him out, I would be most grateful. It's going to be an open source project on SourceForge. So check out Chris's postings, and on his website, you'll have more details, and could be the start of something very significant for all of us that are looking for a little more clarity on what's going on with RSS. Okay, I kind of went off on Microsoft today, and part of it is because there's what set me off a little bit was an article in eWeek that says, Redmond Mulls emergency patch for Internet Explorer. Well, there's been a bug that Microsoft has known about for a while. Okay. And just recently, some hackers have decided, hey, I can create some sort of exploit to take advantage of this. And they did so in a big way. And it is a critical error. It's a critical security risk. Okay. Microsoft has not released a patch for this. They're thinking about doing a patch early, but you know, I'll be honest with you. I kind of went off in the article that I wrote in saying that they got all these billions of dollars. They've been talking about this trusted computing thing for what now, 4 years. Microsoft's Bill Gates stood up and said, security is our number one priority. And guess what? Here we are, and they have bugs that they've known about that have not been patched for months and months and months. You know, if I was the chairman of Microsoft and I had a product, you know, they could learn a thing or two about from Apple. But if I was the chairman of Microsoft, I think what I would do is I'd take one of those billions. You can do a lot of things with a billion. And what I would do is I would go find me the best, the 100th most wicked, lethal, malicious guy hackers they can find. The guys that are the best. Just find these guys that can do all sorts of damage and then hire them. I mean, pay them massive quantities of money. Yes, in a sense, buy them. But hire them and pay them what they're worth, bring them in, set them down besides developers, and let them just tear their products apart. And when they find problems, then get it fixed. And, you know, if Microsoft got all this money, why don't they hire enough people to put at this problem? You know, what's going to happen is this country, this world is going to wake up one morning. And you're going to have millions upon millions and millions of computers. They're going to have a black screen with just a blinking cursor. Because you know what? Someone's going to find something to destroy a bunch of computers in a big way. And I bet you bottom line, it'll be some bug that they have known about that they did not patch for a long time. If you're using Internet Explorer, stop. Stop now. Go to firefox.com or mozilla.org. That's where you need to go, mozilla.org. Download Firefox 1.5. Do not use Internet Explorer surfing the internet to sites that you are not aware of that can be trusted. Okay? It just aggravates me beyond belief that they would have bugs open for this long. And there's a couple of them. So there's a thing in this eWeek article. There's, you know, talked about it all over the place today. So, you know, maybe it's time for Todd to start beating up on Microsoft a little bit more in my forums and also within the podcast. So, you know, I'm sure those of you that are Mac users are kind of like, ha, 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 we don't have this problem. You know, you guys, obviously, you haven't had issues. And we've talked about this before. And I'm not going to go there. But They need to take some notes here, and they should have took some notes a long time ago. And it's like they're talking out both sides of their mouth when, you know, when we see this kind of stuff. So here we have a critical issue with Internet Explorer. Don't use it. If you have ActiveX turned on in Internet Explorer, turn it off. Okay. All right. Skype 2.0. It's available. And guess what? It has. It has video. Yes, you can do video with Skype now, and some good commentary about this. Some of the guys that have been doing plugins for them are not real happy. They're saying there might be some exodus of some of their third-party people, but I have not loaded this yet. There's been some discussion that the processor loading might be pretty heavy, but I did get a note from someone in email, we'll talk about it later, where they said that the video stream is really, it's pretty good, and it will give it about 7K as upstream. It's used on video conference calls. I don't normally carry a camera with my laptop when I'm on the road or on the go. Personally, I don't know what the big deal is with video. You know, I understand if you're on the road and you want to talk to the kids, that's cool. But when I'm talking on Skype, I'm usually either working in a different web page or, you know, I'm multitasking or paying attention to something that's in the screen as it is. So how many of you use video on like iChat or use some other type of Microsoft product to do video chat already. If you do, geeknews@gmail.com, or give me some feedback whether you think you're going to use this functionality in Skype. Okay, there's several of you sent me a link to this article that talks about this podcast that was hijacked and held for ransom. And if you listen to the Daily Source Code, this guy actually sent in an audio comment to Adam. And matter of fact, we're going to talk about Adam a little bit. You guys may have not heard this already, but you're going to hear it from me here in a few minutes. Something that there's some controversy going on. But there's a gentleman that essentially what happened was, and there's some people that are can't believe they're confused on what he's talking about. But he set up his podcast, set up his RSS feed, had it added to some of the directories, and there was another site that came along and was repurposed his RSS feed, had his content included in it, and then when new directories popped up, the feed got automatically added to those directories, diversifying his listenership, and a lot of the people were subscribed to this alternate RSS feed. And this is why I'm very protective of my RSS feed, is I don't want anyone else repurposing it, and I want everything, you know, pointed back at the original. Well, what ended up happening was is this site decided, well, I'm going to use, if I got this pre-built audience, so I'm going to start throwing my own stuff in there, and kind of hijacked his feed because they were controlling it by a second party site, and actually apparently tried to extort some money from this guy in order to, not necessarily extort, but ask for some money to put it back the way it was. He said no, he couldn't get Yahoo to remove the listing, and essentially he had overnight went from like 1,500 listeners on his show down to like 100 because they were all pointed at that. So, as always, if whatever you're doing, make sure that on this show that you are using geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. The links on my website are the links that you should have in your podcatcher application. If you're using iTunes, I understand its subscription is a little different there, but the rest of you should be using geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. Now, there was a question on email that asked me, am I going to still be doing torrents? Yes, torrents will still be available after the first of the year when I stop doing WMA and OGG. Now, I did get a comment from someone asking me, please, please, please do the WMA because where I'm work, they've got MP3 blocked and it's the only way I can listen to your show. I got to figure something out, and maybe what I will do, can't promise anything, but what I might do is actually put one alternative up but not include it in a enclosure feed. I may have it available that all you have to do is you'll know that the extension is OGG on the file name. Well, I'll think about that, and I can't promise it'll be up at the same time because the goal is to cut my production time here. Okay, what else have I got? Oh, okay, let's talk about the controversy of the night. Let me see here if I can actually read what I put on my website. A little swig of iced tea. It's actually pretty late here. It's 11 o'clock already. Okay, here's the headline. Kevin Marks accuses Adam Curry of writing him out of podcasting history. Oh, sounds interesting, doesn't it? Well, there's not only did Kevin Marks write something, but another gentleman wrote some more detailed info, and basically they did a lookup of the IP address that made a change on the Wikipedia under podcasting, and it appears that Adam has been in there making some changes. And I wasn't actually aware that Kevin Marks had anything to do in the history of podcasting, but I've known Kevin Mark's website long before I was even aware of Adam Curry. And the reason I say that is I think when Adam Curry was on MTV, I was busting my butt working for a living and didn't have time to watch MTV. But anyway, the point was that Kevin says in 2003, he demonstrated a same sort of application, a script that would download RSS enclosures via a script to put on into the iPod. Well, apparently Adam didn't like that, or he said, supposedly on his blog, Adam says that he has went in, he was having a hard time understanding what was going on with the Wikipedia or how to edit it, and after like 15 minutes got frustrated and saved or canceled or did something. But regardless, the Wikipedia has been edited a couple of times with the same IP. I'll let you guys draw your own conclusions, but You know, Kevin didn't get included in my write up in my book in history because I wasn't aware of this particular fact. And believe me, I asked around a lot to some important people, and did not find this out. I don't doubt Kevin at all. But boy, there's like 1,200 digs on dig.com on this story. And there's a lot of, interesting comments on Adam's weblog from his posting. I'm sure it will be a very interesting daily source code tomorrow. Okay. So, you know, I don't know where I stand on this. I just, it's kind of childish that people are having to, you know, this was a community event. This podcasting was built as a community. Sure, there was evangelists like Dave Weiner. There's evangelists like Adam. There was people that had very key roles in the explosion of this. And it wouldn't have been possible without all of it. It required all of them and a good spot and time to make it happen. So, I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I'm sure those that are the conspiracy theorists are going to be blaming Adam. Those are on Adam camp will say he made a mistake. So we'll see what is said, but you just got to be careful what you're doing out there. And if you're going to, you know, be ready to take the heat for changes of things that you're going to put into like Wikipedia. Okay. All right. What else do I have here? On, Mozilla 1.5 is obviously, I said already, it's been out. And it looks like over 2 million people have downloaded it in the first couple of days. Absolutely awesome. There is here's the kind of the cool thing of the night. And this just cinched the deal for me. Remember we talked about some of those new TiVo features? Well, TiVo has released them. You can go to www.tivo.com and then it's a 4.9.11.asp. I'll put the link up in the show notes, obviously. But now you can do Yahoo Photos. You can do Yahoo Weather. You can do Yahoo Traffic. You can do Live 365 Radio Network. You can do Fandango. And what else is totally cool is you can do podcasts via your TiVo. All right? So it's a new version of TiVo. You got to sign up for the priority list to make sure that yours a system is rolled to the new version, and this cinches it for me. I think we're going to have to go get a TiVo. Matter of fact, we were talking about using the current DVR that we are and how we should probably just go ahead and buy one ourselves and send the one back to the cable company that we have and get a regular box. Actually, help some of my broadband issues here too, because we'll get off that box. All right, what else do I have? Hey, there's a great, great article about Craigslist. And you know, Craigslist's been getting a lot of somewhat unwanted attention, good for Craigslist, bad for regular newspapers. And, you know, here's the title of this, and this was on SF Weekly, SanFranciscoWeekly.com. It says, Craigslist.com, the much-loved website is taking millions from Bay Area newspapers and causing layoffs that adversely affect coverage, and its founders' well-intentioned support of citizen journalism has a slim chance of fixing the problem. This is a 10-page write-up. You have got to go read this. This is pretty cool. You know, citizen journalism, podcasternews.com, baby. That's where we're at. We're about empowering the citizen media. We're about evolution, the evolution in media. Go over to podcasternews.com. We've added 4 or 5 podcasters in the last couple of days, and we have like 40 more that are coming on. So content will be rapidly ramping up over there. All right. How many of you all know I like Make, right? Make magazine. Well, Make has a list of Make's mostly under $100 gift guide for 2005. These are geek gifts, okay? And some of them are a little bizarre. Some of them are modified products that you can buy and get a little more range from. And I think the coolest thing I found on this list was a temperature-controlled soldering station. It's only $35. You know what? For those of you that do any soldering, having a temperature-controlled soldering station is absolutely critical. Okay, you can buy those $395, $495 soldering irons. They heat up to a preset temperature. But having soldered motherboards, having soldered you know, micro miniature repair on stuff, this is a critical thing to get great soldering, great soldering joints. And you can go out and do some searching on the internet to actually find out what premium temperatures or what the temperature should be set for on a tip. And if this thing actually controls the tip temperature, this is the best $35 that you'll spend this Christmas. Okay, so go out there and check that out. Now, of course, many of us have soldering stations that cost upwards of thousands of dollars, and the associated tips that go along with it. And you say, why would you ever spend $1,000 on a soldering station? Well, if you see some of the stuff I have to solder, you'd understand why. But pretty cool list here, and some kind of geeky ones and some geek mods, and you'll get a kick out of this. It looks to me like Philip Terone definitely had his hand on this particular article. This has got his name. I think I don't see the author name on it, but this has got Philip's name written all over this. So go ahead and go over to Make Magazine or MakeZine.com. Put the link up in the show notes. Okay, we've been talking about pay-as-you-go TV. In other words, TV a la carte, where you can just get the stations that you want. The FCC, believe it or not, is basically saying they think it's a good idea. And one company, Cablevision, has broke ranks on pricing and said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. They're the lone wolf out there that agrees with the FCC chairman on this. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means for me, if they ever do it, ESPN's gone, cartoons are gone, all the home shopping networks are gone, all of that stuff that I don't need, I'll probably end up with pre-cable table selections, like maybe 20 channels or 10 of stuff of channels actually have good content on them. And yeah, I'm all for it. I'll pay a la carte. The claim is that it's going to be more expensive to do a la carte instead of, you guys looked at your cable bill. We talked about mine last week. Bring it on, FCC. I hope they push this. I hope this becomes something that it will spread quickly, but don't hold your breath. All right, what else do I have? Oh, those of you that use Gmail, hey, they have added, I didn't know that they didn't have this before, but they have antivirus scanning added to Gmail. Now, I have always, on my Gmail accounts, I actually pull them down with Outlook. So Outlook does its own scanning. So I guess that I've been protected. But did you all realize that up to this point, you have been opening Gmail emails that have not been virus scanned? I just couldn't believe it. I thought that would have been like default. So anyway, that's in there. They're going to be changed the way that they process your file if there is a virus found in it. Link will be in the show notes. Okay, for Microsoft has launched another initiative today called the OneCare Live Beta 2. All right, what this is Microsoft has posted second public beta of the Windows OneCare. And what that is backup tools, security components. I said that twice, and I repeated myself. It also is available as a support options available as a on a subscription basis. But the new features include backing up to external drives, ability to enable right-click scans of files and folders, integration with Microsoft Update, and diagnosis upon installation of potential software conflicts with Windows OneCare. I don't understand here. And it's got a firewall. What else does it have? Is anyone using this? Is this thing effective? Is this doing as good a job as like McAfee or Norton Antivirus? Is it doing as good a job as some of those other commercial firewall products? Is it covering, does it have the extensive library of viruses and malware and all that? That it doesn't say. I'd like to run this thing head to head against a machine that was infected. If anybody finds anything, any kind of comparisons, let me know. Point me at it, okay? All right, what else do I have? Oh, hey, the Mars Express thinks it has discovered, or the scientists that have been analyzing that data think they have discovered subsurface ice. And I can understand how for those of you that have ever been exposed to looking at a radar scope, or you've seen it on TV, maybe the TV representations are always a hokey pokey. But if this thing is actually, it's actually detected what appears to be ice, subsurface ice, it can be readily seen on most radar scans or radar pictures. So I think this is, pretty important and could obviously help a future Mars mission in being able to extract water once they get on the surface. So we'll see where they go with this, but I think there's water underneath the planet, underneath the subsurface of Mars. All right. Hey, we've heard about the, you know, that Japanese spacecraft that's out there, and this is a sick dog. It's got thruster problems, and the Hayabusa return is in jeopardy. Apparently, they think there's a propellant tank leak, and there's one of the thrusters isn't working correctly. So, if this thing gets back, I think it'll be a minor miracle for the Japanese to get this thing home. So, we'll keep you informed of where they're at on the progress of getting this thing deorbited from the, or not actually headed back in the right direction. All right, here is a story of absolute craziness. There's a guy that was in Canada who bought a special $7,000 Air Canada ticket that gave him unlimited flights for 60 days. He flew 56 out of 60 days, acquiring 1 million flight miles. He basically flew night and day, nonstop, continuing, and what he got out of it was vouchers worth $70,000 worth of business class airfare. And what's funny about this is this guy's a pilot who flies between North America and Asia. I think what they need to do with this guy, I think he needs to go see the flight surgeon, and he needs to have a psych eval. Having flown for 20 years and sitting in the back of an airplane and acquiring, I'm talking about me personally, having acquired over 8,000 flight hours, you know something? There is no way, there is just no way that I would ever even consider this. You know, this guy flies as it is. Why does he need to do this? Did he take vacation to do that? I think he needs a psych eval. I really do. But it's on Boing Boing. Okay, I did not realize that. Here's the last article for tonight. 42 minutes. We're still doing good on time after my long discussion in the beginning. But hey, there's a talked about the parked domain monetization business. You guys heard about this? This is where people are able to go and buy 100,000 domains, right? I mean, just a huge number, and then put ads on them, and then within the first few days, they determine which ones are going to make money and which ones aren't. And then within 5 days, or at the fifth day mark, most of these domain registers have some sort of a rebate policy or refund policy. So they return 99% of the domains that did not generate any money from ads on the sites. And they basically get their money back. So Joe Ito is looking at this. If you have any experience in this, if you know people that have done this type of business or people that are doing it, he's looking for comment. And I hope the comments lead to some sort of ban, because if you think about the fraud that's being put on the fraud that's being done here, in that they're just scamming advertisers out of money, I think we should send Joy some comments on this. And, you know, he's on the ICANN board, and it would be good to speak out. And, you know, if you're looking for a domain, if one of these guys have hijacked one of these, not hijacked, but bought one of these things like this, you know, it just reduces the number of legitimate domains people can buy. All right, I've got some comments to go through, and then we'll wrap it up for the day. Okay, earlier in the week, I had asked for those of you that were interested in doing some product reviews for us and providing a write-up. It looks like I'm going to have some more items coming, and those of you that have wrote to me and said that you are a PSP user, I've got a digital recorder that I've got on the way that I'm going to ask one of you to actually do a review on. So that'll be coming in soon. I'll drop an email to you when, actually what I'm going to have is I'll drop an email to the person I want it reviewed. I'm going to have the item shipped directly to your home, and then we're going to set up so that you can make a post on the website. Policy on that is, and I did two product reviews on Geek News Central this week, is there'll be a full disclaimer, and I tell all of the people that are sending us stuff that, you know, we don't guarantee a positive review. We're gonna say what we feel about the product, and that'll be the policy here. But I got an email from Andy. Andy, thanks for your comments on the book. I appreciate your support on that. Got a whole bunch of email from people giving me Firefox solutions to our non-loading Firefox. I think I got like 30. And I have not even had time to try the ideas that you've gave me. Now, most of you gave me, like four or five of you gave me the same exact solution. So I'll go through, and when I figure out which one it is, I think I'm going to post a list of all of these possible fixes on the link blog so that you all get a chance to check that out. I do want to thank George, though, for sending me a link to the guy that wrote the Hacking Firefox for Extreme Tech, and we're going to see if we can get him maybe on the show at some point. That would be kind of cool. Okay, I got an email from, someone sent me an email, said, I know you were talking about me on the show last time. In basic, this was in reference to the laptop at Walmart. Basically, one of the person that was standing in line ended up not getting one. People jumped the line. He's totally never, ever going to go shopping again day after Thanksgiving. So I'm sure a lot of people ran into that, stood in line, and found out that the companies only had one or two. Hey, Thomas, thanks for your feedback. He sent me said, don't forget those of us that are international listeners out here. And he basically said, hey, Todd, just listen to your podcast about the $127 price contest thing. You say that Santa Claus will be one day early for one listener. He says, are you aware that, in fact, that from my perspective, Santa Claus is late for all your listeners in the U.S. where I live? The Saint Claus is celebrated December 6th with small presents for children the night before. Christmas presents are bought by the Christ Child around here. I do want to say that I know that there's a large group of people all around the world that listen to the show, and you have different religious backgrounds, and please don't take offense if we talk about Christmas, if it's not following your religious beliefs. It's something that's celebrated heavily here in the United States by those that observe Christmas. So we just wanted to make sure that we try to keep within everyone's sensibility or sensitivities, and don't want to get everyone all bent out of shape. But I do appreciate the feedback on that, Thomas, and keep me in check. That's good. I do appreciate that. Got an email from Karen. He says, I think you should tell everyone about Flock, the latest browser on the block. It looks cool and it's loaded. I've been using it sometime, and I think it works like a charm. Thanks on that, Karen. We'll check that out. But I think I've tried Flock before. I'll have to go back and look at it again. Got an email from Jay. He says, hey, when I'm listening to your podcast and hear you talk about Firefox issues, I had the same exact thing happen to me, and it turned out to be the extensions got hosed. Well, this was on a fresh install, Jay, so that was not the problem. But I do thank you for your feedback. Okay, what else? Okay, Adam, thanks for your suggestion on the contest, and I think we talked about it earlier in the show. Let's give me another try. Let's try something else. Go ahead and put your thinking cap on, see if you can come up with another contest idea. And what else? I got an information from Brian on RSS hijacking. I got a email from podcatcher.com. He says, hey, Todd, good to meet you at the expo. I've attached a JPEG of my wife to remind you of us. I came up and asked if you could talk around our promo. Our podcast covers geek, techie, family, fun, hobby of geocaching. We've done an extra thing in creating podcatches, audio MP3 clues that lead you to hidden clauses, treasure boxes. And our podcast is primarily geared to those who geocache and who might be interested. Anyone who loves geeky gadgets and getting outdoors to hunt for treasures would enjoy it. Here's a link to a short promo. I'll get that played maybe at the end of the show, maybe it'll be the next one. Depends. I'm already at 49 minutes here on comments. Got an email from our good friend Norbert, who has a fiber to his home. And Norbert, I looked at your speeds that you're getting on your connection. Oh my goodness, I am so envious. It was like 9 meg or something. It was something absolutely ridiculous. That's totally awesome. I want some. What else do I have? Oh, a whole bunch of more people sent on Firefox. A few of you that have sent out requests to be on the instant message notification of show notes. We'll get to that at some point. I haven't got that enabled yet, but I'm collecting your names. I do want to say, what else? Boy, just a whole bunch here. A couple of people said thanks for the free magazine links. What else? And of course, there is some new extensions if you're a Delicious user that you can use for Firefox. And I'll get all this stuff up in the show notes. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jim, Carrie, Christopher, Hal, Steve, Simon, Brian, Adam, Jay, Karen, Thomas, Avalero, everyone for sending in comments to the show. I do appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them as usual. But hey, this is 51 minutes. I got to close here. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast and for staying subscribed. I do want to encourage you to sign up again for the mailing list so that you can get the show notes directly to your inbox. And if you can vote for us at Podcast Alley, that would be definitely appreciated. And as always, you can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. We're at 51 minutes. We're not going to play any promos tonight. I'll get the geocaching promo and some others. We got some Christmas ones coming in. We'll kick those off in the next show. I'll see you guys next week, Tuesday. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Get your Christmas shopping done. And let me know if you score some good deals, all right? Really want to hear about those good deals, especially if they're online. Turn me on to them. Aloha. Bye-bye.